Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio. Welcome back. Game Time live from the Next Gen Male Medical Clinic Zone Studios, 1117 on a sunny, gorgeous Tuesday here in Omaha, Nebraska. Appreciate you tuning in. Thor Tripp, still to come. Got the NBA draft lottery tonight. I have some thoughts on that. I am far from tinfoil hat guy, but if there ever was a night to go purchase a tinfoil hat, tonight is the night. I mean, there's no question about it. With Zion as the big prize, with the Knicks as one of the best odds to land. I mean, come on now. Connect the dots. Give you some more thoughts on that. Plus, if I say, what's Portland, Golden State tonight? Is it tonight game one, right? I think tonight's game one.
I think it is tonight. Yeah.
I think you'll have the draft lottery. They'll probably lead us right into to Portland, Golden State.
Woo!
So no KD, obviously. And Rodney Hood is like day to day, I think.
Yeah, I still don't think he'll play.
This KD thing, Steve Kerr said yesterday that KD hasn't even stepped on the court since he went out in the third quarter of game five of the series against the Rockets. So I guess I'll put it this way. Would it shock me if he doesn't come back this entire Portland series? It wouldn't shock me. But at the same time, it's really hard to get a sense of what exactly the nature of this injury really is. You know what I mean? Like, they've been so, like right calf strain. I was like, well, that's a pretty broad thing, you know? So, who knows? I think you can probably count on, for sure, the first two games, probably first three games of this this Western Conference Finals with Portland, no Kevin Durant. I was gonna pull some audio, but so Scott Frost was on the Jim Rome show yesterday, and you know, nothing too earth shattering. And the one thing I've learned is, oftentimes when Nebraska coaches go on national shows, it's a real surface level regurgitation of all the things us locally have been hearing for a long time. You know what I mean? Like, just kind of a regurgitation of all that stuff. You always feel like, well, I've been hearing that. But I did, there were three things that probably jumped out at me when listening to Frost talk to Jim Rome. The first thing was, clearly, Scott Frost said that he really felt like things turned last year after the Purdue game. Which is interesting because, remember, that was the game that Frost had kind of it looked like he was almost going to cry in the post-game press conference. Said we look like the most undisciplined team, and it makes me sick, and all that stuff. Like, that was where it really looked like the angst and the anger and the emotion reached its peak after that game. So in that regard, I guess it makes sense that when people really hit their breaking point, that's when things can change, right? But what's interesting about the idea that that's when things turned was Nebraska went on to lose their next two games at Wisconsin and at Northwestern. So it's not like, you know, here was the turning point and everything, you know, they started winning. But Frost said that he could start to feel things change right after that game. And, you know, I think there clearly was an internal battle going on within that locker room with some of the guys not all the way buying in. And I know people kind of got tired of hearing about buy-in and this stuff, but I think the upperclassmen and the leaders took it upon themselves to weed out the dudes who weren't all in. And so it's just so interesting to show how much we think winning and losing is the true sign of change. But I think the true signs of change come behind the scenes with the process. Once the process is on track and changes, that's when the results of being where you want them to be over the course of time really change, right? Including something flipped after that Purdue game. Even though the next 2 weeks weren't wins, Frost kept on saying it during the time, and he said it yesterday, that things were changing. I found that interesting. And within that, you know, Rome asked a great question about, you know, what, obviously in year two, you had the big jump in Central Florida, you went undefeated. What signs did you see that that was going to happen, and when did you see him, and do you see him with Nebraska? And Scott Frost talked about how he really didn't know until they got into fall camp. That's when he really could get a sense of like, oh boy, things could maybe explode here, because obviously everybody knows Central Florida went undefeated that year, but said it wasn't until fall camp that things really became like, okay, So that is comforting in some ways, because it kind of felt like a ho-hum spring. But Frost said that it didn't fully click and become obvious that something was brewing until fall camp, right? Scott Frost then was asked if he learned anything about the Nebraska job that he didn't know going in. And, you know, a lot of pretty simple things. You know, he said that he had observed how bad it had gotten from afar, but it was even worse when he got here. Like, I think that was pretty clear in kind of the things that he was talking about throughout, this time last year and all this stuff, where I think sometimes you think things are bad and then you get in there and you're like, oh, but it's way worse than I thought. But with all that said, the thing that is good to hear is that Frost talked about how he believes that everything is still in place for Nebraska to win big here. That hasn't changed. And now it's kind of on them to get this thing right, get this thing going. Because the infrastructure is in place. So, I mean, those were the three things that really stood out to me. But I would say the big thing that continues to jump out to me every time that Frost, gets behind a microphone and talks about the program and the process and all those things is the level of trust and belief I have in Frost and what he's saying and what he's doing. Like, and I can't be alone on that feeling. Just the level of belief that I have in what that guy's saying. And in all reality, this is the first time in a long time that I totally trust who's in charge there. I trust his recruiting evaluations. That's why I'm a little bit more willing to buy into a Wandell Robinson, for example. I trust his culture building. I trust his ability to lead. I trust his ability to prepare a team. I trust what he says. I trust what, like, I just trust Frost. And there's no way I'm alone in that sentiment. And whenever I listen to him, I just feel way better about everything. You ever have someone like that in your life where it's like you hear him talking, you're like, oh, I just feel way better about everything. I didn't fully trust Bill Callahan or Bo Pelini or Mike Riley. There was always that voice in the back of my mind, and that voice was doubt. Even when they're saying the quote-unquote right thing, you know what I mean? Like, Riley or Callahan, they would have, like, the right answer or the right, like, in some ways, Frost has said some of the same things that Riley and Pelini and Callahan have said, but it lands different because of that trust. It just lands different. And so I just had that voice in the back of my head that there was the doubt, and that voice is gone. It's gone with Frost. I believe in Frost. I trust Frost. And that is just kind of driven home even more every time I listen to that guy talk, which is a unique, great feeling, one in which that, you know, has kind of eluded at least me for, you know, dang near 15 years with the Nebraska basketball head coach. 402-951-1620. Let's grab Adam quick before we get to Robin Washit. What's up, Adam? Appreciate you calling. Fire away.
Hey, happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
I got a question. I know nothing about NBA draft, how it works, all 9 yards. So, like in the NFL, you're the worst record, you get the first pick.
Yep.
Is that the way it works in the NBA, or is it like, how does the lottery work?
The lottery works where it's basically the three worst records, I think, get like the best odds in terms of having ping pong balls kind of fall correctly in a random drawing of the order of the draft. I think it's kind of silly that they do it. I think it makes more sense to do it the way the NFL does it, where it's literally like the worst record, bottoms first up. Pick, yeah, bottom up kind of a thing. So basically, go ahead.
Sorry, if you were like the Warriors and you won the championship, you have a chance to get the number one pick?
No, it's 14.
The 14 teams.
The 14 teams.
Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep, you got it. It's 14 teams. It's 14 teams. You know, and I'll lay all this out a little bit later on. If you're, I mean, it's 14 teams that are going to make that are going to fill up the lottery tonight. And so you have the Knicks, the Cavs, the Suns, the Bulls, Hawks, Wizards, Pelicans, Grizzlies, Mavericks, T-Wolves, Lakers, Hornets, Heat, Kings. And then obviously there are provisions with trades on like swapping picks and all that stuff where it falls. It's to me, I've always been kind of perplexed at how the NBA does this. Like to me it makes more sense to have it be like the NFL, or to have it maybe even like do something fun where to maybe alleviate tanking, like people have talked about where those 14 teams are you play like a single elimination tournament to get the top pick.
Ooh.
So it's not like at the end of the year, maybe in the couple of days before the playoffs start, like, okay, your ass is tanking. All right, now you better go. Now let's see what happens.
You better go win some games. I like that.
Okay. Try and switch it around. But yeah, so Zion's the big prize tonight. I got some more thoughts on that. Speaking of basketball, Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com, he's going to stop by next. I mean, there's like three or four. I think there's four different recruits we got to talk about. Like since I think four different recruits have committed to Nebraska since I last talked to Robin last week. Like it's wild. Lots to talk about with Robin. We'll do it next.